It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday, everyone. I'm Bill Price. Coronavirus has gripped the country.
My mother, I got a phone call this morning that she passed at 3:30 in the morning.
That is our top story this Friday. The death toll is on the rise. So, too, are fears over the virus.
It's getting worse. It's not getting better.
14 deaths now blamed on the virus in these United States, and all but one of those are in Washington State. The other, Northern California, where an elderly man died after returning from a cruise to Mexico. Chris Grady is on board that ship that's docked off the coast of San Francisco.
I definitely feel like I've been kept in the dark a little bit because I've learned a lot more by, you know, going online and just reading what's going on. Here, they've been pretty vague.
Test results expected soon on passengers and crew members aboard the Grand Princess. Mary Ellen Carroll is with Emergency Management in San Francisco.
Once we have results from the tests, the CDC and the state will determine the most appropriate location for the ship to berth.
This morning at the White House, President Trump signed an $8.3 billion emergency spending package to fight coronavirus.
I asked for 2.5, and I got 8.3. And I'll take it.
Last night at a town hall meeting in Scranton, Pennsylvania, Mr. Trump defended his administration's handling of the virus.
We've done a great job. The testing, we did it as soon as we found out that it was a problem, we did it.
But Congress already investigating the slow rollout of test kits that are just now starting to reach labs across the country.
We don't have enough tests today to meet what we anticipate will be the demand going forward.
Officials say there's also been a run on hand sanitizers and cleaning supplies in stores from coast to coast.
Panic buying rampant, so is price gouging, disinfectant, masks, hand sanitizer. Retailers can't keep up.
As soon as we get it, it's off the shelf. Within about an hour, it's all gone.
Online sales through the roof as well. Triple-digit price hikes are common.
They're taking advantage of people right now.
California's Attorney General Xavier Becerra.
You'd better be prepared to pay the price for your law breaking.
New York City now fining stores found taking advantage.
Hearing none reporting on Wall Street today. The market's still on edge because of coronavirus concerns. The Dow way down again. Here's business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
The fear among economists and investors alike is that we don't know how long this will continue. We don't know how pervasive it will be.
The Labor Department's new jobs report out today, however, does not reflect the fallout from coronavirus. 273,000 new jobs created last month. That's way up from the 165,000 economists had been predicting. The unemployment rate remains at a 50-year low of 3.5%. The airline industry also feeling the impact of the coronavirus. Perry Flint is with the International Air Transport Association.
It's a major crisis for our industry. Airlines have seen demand fall by half or more. People simply aren't traveling.
Flint says U.S. airlines are bracing for a $63 billion fall in passenger revenue. President Trump touring the damage from those killer tornadoes in Tennessee right now. At least 24 people were killed when the twisters tore through late Monday, early Tuesday this week. The president meeting with first responders and some of the families of the victims. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders extending an olive branch to Elizabeth Warren following her decision yesterday to drop out of the race.
To all Senator Warren's supporters, we would welcome them to be on board.
Warren has yet to endorse a candidate. The Massachusetts senator says even though it won't happen this year, it's only a matter of time before a woman occupies the Oval Office.
It's just going to be a little longer before we're able to have a woman in the White House. But it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen soon.
Mike Bloomberg, meantime, has deployed his staff to six key swing states on behalf of the new Democratic frontrunner, Joe Biden. Researchers at Yale University say they have proof it pays to relax during pregnancy.
Scientists gave mice a stress hormone in the womb and found it altered immune responses, decreasing the ability to fight infections and tumors. Researchers believe their data helps explain why some people fight infections better than others.
That's Tom Hansen reporting. Today is the National Day of Unplugging, a day set aside to unplug, unwind, and just relax. That means ditching things like social media and electronics, maybe just doing a bit of reflecting, taking some time out for yourself or some non-technology-based communicating with friends and family. Go ahead, give it a try. Still to come this Friday, coronavirus now in Pennsylvania. The 2020 census has now gone digital, and remembering the life of Amo Houghton.
Well, good afternoon to all. While we have a taste of winter ahead heading into tonight, the weekend looks lovely with bright skies and after a chilly start, a warming trend. Forecast details are coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Friday, March 6th. Coronavirus now in the Commonwealth. Today, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf announced two presumed cases of the virus in the Keystone State.
One is in Delaware County, and the other is in Wayne County. Both of the cases have been quarantined in their homes.
Governor Wolf says the state has been preparing for the virus for several weeks now. He says the best advice is common sense.
We have to control the spread of this disease by what we do day in, day out in our daily lives. So tactics like washing your hands for at least 20 seconds, covering your nose and mouth when you cough. If you feel ill, stay home.
Wolf says the state has $50 million earmarked to fight the virus in the Commonwealth. There are now at least 22 cases of coronavirus in New York, 18 in Westchester County, 3 in New York City, 1 on Long Island. Governor Cuomo says the number is expected to rise, but that doesn't mean you have to panic.
There is no reason for undue anxiety.
And while all of the coronavirus cases in New York are downstate, health officials say it's only a matter of time before it spreads.
We should all have an expectation that there might be a case, and that's how we're approaching this.
That's Dr. Ken Snyder at Kaleida Health in Buffalo. He says following mom's advice is the best way to protect yourself from coronavirus.
Washing your hands with soap and water for 20 seconds. Sing the alphabet. Something. It takes that much time. When you're sick, it's not necessarily the time to be, you know, shaking hands and hugging everyone that we see.
Dr. Snyder says you should treat the virus like a bad case of the flu. Today, the Erie County Health Department in Western New York announced that 116 people in that county now being quarantined because of possible exposure to coronavirus. Local grocery stores, meantime, running low on hand sanitizers and cleaning supplies. Don Arthur runs a pharmacy near Buffalo.
Hand sanitizers, disinfectant wipes, Lysol spray. Yeah, it's interesting. We carry those products also, and we've probably sold a year's worth of those products in the last 2 weeks.
Arthur says the traffic at his store, reminiscent of blizzard buying that often takes place leading up to a big snowstorm. The difference here, instead of buying milk, eggs, and bread, folks are stocking up on hand sanitizers, cleaning wipes, and Lysol spray. President Trump in Scranton, PA last night. He was there for a Fox News town hall talk. These folks in attendance say they were impressed with the commander-in-chief.
He's so smart, and he gave such good answers, and he's such a wonderful speaker.
It was incredible. He did a great job. More positive view of Trump than I did even before I came here.
The questions were good, and Trump answered them right on the spot. He's a quick thinker.
The president fielded questions on everything from illegal immigration to coronavirus.
I felt totally comfortable, like seeing him up there, just the way he answered people's questions, and I just felt totally at ease.
He really motivated the crowd.
A small protest taking place outside of the Scranton Cultural Center where President Trump spoke last night. This was Mr. Trump's first visit to Pennsylvania this year. An influential politician from New York's Southern Tier has passed away. Here's Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, longtime New York Congressman Amo Houghton has died. He served 9 terms in the House of Representatives. Before that, he was the chief executive of the old Corning Glassworks. Houghton was probably best known for being one of the few Republicans to vote against impeaching former President Clinton. A memorial service is being planned in his hometown of Corning. Congressman Tom Reed, who inherited Houghton's seat, says the Republican representative was a mentor, friend, and hero. Amo Houghton was 93. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. Political pundit Dr. Stephen Coleman says Amo Houghton was a kind man. That made him a great politician.
He treated all people with decency and respect. A kind and decent man, a man of conscience. He was a unifier and not a divider, something we need more of today.
Dr. Coleman says Amo Houghton could teach today's politicians quite a bit.
Amo played by his conscience and respected people. He was very civil. And he was an example of what politicians should do, how they should act in office.
Coleman says we've lost a giant with the loss of Amo Houghton. The community of Avoca, New York is mourning the death of an 18-year-old who was tragically killed in a car accident Wednesday night.
I heard my friend scream and said, yeah, he was calling 911, and I ran across the street and found my friend Chris, who was thrown out of the car.
Chris Odell, a student and volunteer firefighter in Avoca, police say he was killed when the car he was in hit a snowbank, rolled over several times, and crashed into a telephone pole. Dennis Smiegel was with his friend moments before he passed away.
I kept telling him to hang in there and to stay alive for his family and everything, because we all love him, and he just kept looking at me and grabbing at me and trying everything he could. He was a good kid, really good kid.
The town gathered at the scene of the crash Thursday for a vigil. 3 other teenagers who were in the car at the time of the accident were injured. The cause of that crash still under investigation. New legislation in the Pennsylvania State Senate would criminalize the opening up of supervised drug injection sites. More on that at noon from Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The injection sites allow drug addicts to shoot up without fear of prosecution. Supporters say it would cut down on drug overdose deaths. Critics fear it will only worsen the addiction crisis. Plans to open America's first supervised injection site in Philadelphia were shot down last week. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. The 2020 census has now gone digital, and this year you can fill out the once-a-decade questionnaire online. Nicolette Wagner is with the Chemung County, New York Planning Commission.
In the next week or two, everyone will be getting a mailing at home that will have instructions on how to go online and fill it out. Some people will also be receiving a paper copy in the mail that they can return just like they would in the past. But basically starting next Thursday, people can go online and start filling out their questionnaire.
Wagner says if you don't fill out the online questionnaire by the end of April, census takers will go door to door looking for you starting in May. She explains what's at stake with this year's headcount.
Federal funding for schools, roads, bridges, any kind of benefits, that all comes down to census data. So it's really important. In the last census, there were 1 million New Yorkers that weren't counted. That impacts our taxes, right? Like that impacts the bottom line for everyone here. So it's really a matter of us getting our fair share.
The Census Bureau hopes to get at least 90% of people to self-respond to that online questionnaire. Again, look for your form in the mail in the next week to 10 days. Hockey action heating up. Sunny time. 2-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start on the ice at Madison Square Garden. It was Mika Zibanejad night because he had a hat trick, then his fourth goal, then in overtime.
Up the middle, Zibanejad. He goes to the net. He scores. The Rangers win. Mika Zibanejad with 5 goals.
Yeah, have 5 goals in the Rangers' 6-5 win against the Capitals. Last time, 5 goals in the game. Back in 2018, the Rangers' blue shirts 2 points out of the wild card. In Buffalo, Patrick Hornquist had a pair of goals. Penguins beat the Sabres 4-2. Buffalo lost their 5th straight. Not happy, Jake McCabe.
Yeah, exactly. They had a real tough time getting out of their own end. Our forwards were tracking back and stripping pucks and turning over pucks. Then we were right back at them and spent a lot of time in their end. But once again, it's frustrating because we had nothing to show for.
While the Sabres are struggling, the Flyers are hot, winning their 8th straight, beating the Hurricanes 4-1. Carter Hart happy.
Metro opponent, so. From here on in, all these games matter, and we just got to take things one day at a time, and tonight we came out hard and put out a really good effort.
Philadelphia tied for first with the Capitals in the Metro Division. In Ottawa, the Senators beat the Islanders 4-3. That's 5 straight losses for the Isles. Head coach Barry Trotz.
Yeah, well, I thought we got off to a good start. Obviously, the power play got an early goal, and then we took 2 penalties, and I thought that gave them some momentum the rest of that first period. But, we're fine. The second period, I thought we carried most of the play.
The Islanders have a 2-point lead over the Rangers for second in the wild card. Toronto shut out by the Kings, the Leafs, currently 3rd in the Atlantic. To the NBA, Tobias Harris had 28 and 14 boards. Shorthanded Sixers beat the Kings 125-108. Steph Curry back, scoring 23 points in his return to the court. The Warriors fall to the Raptors 121-113. Curry had been out since October with a broken hand. Golden State, a league worst, 14-49 on the year. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Friday edition of the Noon Report, the boys are back. That's right. Capital Connection queued up, ready to go. Plus, one of the most listened to voices you never knew has been silenced.
Why is the freedom of religion so hard to defend these days? Well, at least part of the reason lies in a landmark Supreme Court case from 1990, a decision the court may soon revisit. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Recently, an Idaho contractor who cited biblical reasons for refusing to provide his Social Security number when applying for a business license did more than just ask the Supreme Court to hear his case. He asked the court to overturn a decision written by the late Justice Antonin Scalia. The decision, Employment Division versus Smith, has shaped the contours of religious freedom since 1990, especially on the state level. The case involved 2 Native Americans in Oregon who were fired from their job as drug counselors because they used peyote during a religious ritual. When they applied for unemployment benefits, Oregon's Employment Division turned them down because they'd been dismissed for work-related misconduct. Oregon's Supreme Court ruled in their favor, saying that, quote, the ban on the sacramental use of peyote violated the First Amendment's free exercise clause. The Supreme Court, by a 6-3 vote, disagreed. The controversy is not really over the decision itself, but over the reasoning used by Justice Scalia in his majority opinion. You see, prior to the Employment Division case, the government was forced to show a compelling interest before it placed a burden on the free exercise of religion, and had to do so in the least restrictive means possible. Scalia might have concluded that Oregon's compelling interest was keeping drug counselors from using hallucinogenic drugs in their spare time. Instead, he rewrote free exercise law altogether by saying that when it came to laws of general applicability, ones that apply to everyone generally and equally, the government doesn't have to show a compelling interest at all. All it had to show was that religious behavior wasn't specifically targeted by the law. The breadth of his opinion united both conservative evangelicals like Chuck Colson and liberal groups like the ACLU in opposition. This strange coalition urged Congress to pass the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, or RFRA, which attempted to restore the law to its prior understanding before the Employment Division decision. Or at least it would have had the court not subsequently ruled that RFRA, at least as it applied to states, was unconstitutional. Most of our religious freedom conflicts today occur at the state and local level, as Christian business owners, for example, run afoul of state and local SOGI laws. If a law doesn't specifically target religious practices, which they never do, then there's no free exercise issue according to the Employment Division decision. So, people like Jack Phillips or Baron L. Stutzman must instead argue that their freedom of speech and expression are what's being violated. And as we saw in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, that's difficult, even in cases involving obvious expression, such as custom designing wedding cakes. Less obvious cases have it even harder. Even worse, by Scalia's decision, in other words, in a legal sense, living by millennia-old biblical precepts is treated as the constitutional equivalent of creating sexually explicit material. The late Antonin Scalia is considered a giant among justices, and rightly so. While he may not have intended to create this legal confusion, especially in such a vulnerable cultural moment as ours, that's what happened. Ironically, it was a devout Catholic whose son is a priest who inadvertently made it harder to be a Catholic or a Protestant Christian in the public square. While I'm not ready to pontificate on the specific merits of this Idaho case, it's past time to revisit and overturn Employment Division versus Smith. Religious freedom is just too important to rest on such shaky ground. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, the weekend is here.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A disturbance arriving from the Midwest will kick up some snow and mixed rain as we head through the rest of the day into the night tonight, and travel could be impacted for some. But that system will pass, and high pressure will promise a bright, sunny weekend with a crisp start and a mild finish. Our forecast for this afternoon, cloudy with patches of snow and rain. Temperatures mainly in the 30s. Snow will pick up for many late today into early tonight, and anyone will be fair game for a coating to an inch. And a few inches could fall over the higher elevations of west central New York, the western central Finger Lakes, into the central Twin Tiers. Watch for some slippery spots this evening in particular. Later tonight, a few leftover flurries, low in the 20s. Tomorrow, early clouds, then sunshine in the 30s. Sunday, sunny, milder. The high then, mid-40s to the mid-50s.
All righty, Kevin Williams, you're plugged into the Noon Report, a Friday edition on Family Life.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Welcome back to the program, guys. Jason, I would be remiss if I did not start with this whole coronavirus scare. How concerned should New York State residents be at this point?
Well, you know, I think it's something we have to take seriously, as we have with other things we've heard of, whether it be swine flu or bird flu or other things that have come through in previous years. It seems like we deal with something like this that comes about on a fairly regular basis. But I think at the end of the day, we live in a very safe country, and people do have to be diligent to be washing their hands and doing what they can to try to prevent the spread of something like this. But in reality, we live in the greatest country in the world, and I think that we are prepared to be able to handle something such as coronavirus.
And we've seen $40 million devoted to the fight in New York State, $8 billion on the national level. We'll see where it goes from here. Michael, you talk a lot about the symbiotic relationship between Governor Wolf and Planned Parenthood, sort of a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But on your website this week, you reveal kind of the sinister side of Planned Parenthood, working to conceal sex trafficking in the Keystone State. How are they doing this?
Well, every side of Planned Parenthood is sinister, honestly, and with regard to abortion, or the biggest seller of abortion in the country, their ties to the sex trafficking industry are very clear, because sex traffickers and those who deal basically with human slavery for the sex traffic business need groups like Planned Parenthood to have abortions for the girls and women that are enslaved by the sex traffickers, the birth controls that's provided to them, and groups like Planned Parenthood. It's been proven in studies. Loyola University in Chicago did a study on sex trafficking victims and found that they frequent Planned Parenthood for abortions and birth control devices regularly, and yet Planned Parenthood does nothing to report these people to the authorities, to law enforcement. There's been, you know, live action Project Veritas showing that Planned Parenthood really is not acting in a protective way for these women and girls that come in there.
Yeah, interesting. You can read more on your website about that. Jason, March is the month where folks rally at the state capitol for whatever their cause. In your rally is coming up fast. Legislative Day is St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. The focus is restoring parental rights in New York State. How are parental rights being undermined in Albany?
You know, in Albany, there's a host of issues that are coming up dealing with this issue. Whether you look at the discussion regarding legalizing paid or contractual surrogacy. We're literally creating manufacturing motherless children in that initiative. There's a push to mandate a vaccination against a sexually transmitted disease. If you're going to mandate against HPV, that's not something you can get in the classroom. It's a violation of parental rights. Sex education is another piece of mandatory legislation that Albany is weighing. We believe those conversations are best had by parents, not politicians. And I should add that on March 17th, that Legislative Day event that we are having, Planned Parenthood is also planning a lobby day on that same day. And so it really puts our organization standing up for parental rights and pro-life issues head-to-head on the same day that Planned Parenthood will be in the Capitol making their case for the taking of unborn life and your children's hearts and minds.
All right, and we'll give your website where folks can register for Legislative Day. We strongly encourage you to show up and let your voice be heard there for that important get-together. Michael, a huge Supreme Court decision this term. They heard oral arguments over this earlier this week. Could really unravel Roe v. Wade, of this, of course, having to do with a Louisiana law that mandates doctors have admitting privileges at local hospitals. How could this ruling impact the work of abortionists in your state?
Well, this impact in Pennsylvania could be significant for abortion clinics, and this issue down in Washington with the Supreme Court gives me an opportunity to talk about one of New York's prominent politicians, the senior senator Chuck Schumer, who was threatening Supreme Court Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh in front of the Supreme Court in an unbelievable, outrageous way. The pro-abortion lobby, the politicians like Chuck Schumer, pushing the Supreme Court, wanting them to strike down this Louisiana law. This would help women in Pennsylvania because abortionists who need to get these admitting privileges would then be checked out by the hospitals, and that would sort of clean out the bad actors like the Kermit Gosnells that seem to frequent the abortion clinic industry.
Yeah, since he mentioned your senior senator, Jason, there is an effort now in the Senate to censure Mr. Schumer for what he said about Justices Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. You think that's an appropriate action?
Yeah, we see the Senator Josh Hawley is introducing that censure measure, and I think it is appropriate. I think this is a line that Senator Schumer has crossed. It is terribly inappropriate for him, at best, to make the statement that he has as a legislative branch to threaten judicial, and it goes beyond that. These are Supreme Court justices that are not subject to the politics of the day. They're not up for election. Yeah. So what else could Senator Schumer be saying in the statement that he did? This is certainly something in the day and age in which we live with the amount of division, divisiveness, anger that's out there, that this just does not feed what we need in our culture today.
Real quickly, Jason, we'll stick with you for just a second. The state budget deadline is fast approaching. A lot of folks want to know, will marijuana legalization be part of the final deal?
You know, I don't know, and I wish I had this crystal ball I could look in and know all these things that make life a lot easier on the lobbying side.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the governor, I think, does want to see some revenue come in. He sees other states that are taxing recreational marijuana, but there seems to be just this holdup that, again, this may be a repeat of what we saw last year. There's a lot of talk about the inevitability of marijuana, and it may just fizzle out at the end and go up in smoke.
Yeah. March is National Problem Gamblers Awareness Month. Michael, how big? I know that if those first casinos that went up way back in 2004 seems like a lifetime ago. You have been on the front lines of this fight ever since. But how big of a problem is problem gambling in Pennsylvania?
Well, let me create a visual image for your listeners. If they think of Beaver Stadium at Penn State University, filled with all the folks that go to the Penn State football games, fill that stadium three times, over 300,000 problem gamblers in Pennsylvania. And that means that's the hidden addiction. When you're a drug addict or an alcoholic, people see the effects of that. Problem gambling doesn't have any visual effects that people can see, and yet it devastates families and savings accounts and embezzlement and businesses and church treasurers. It's a terrible addiction, and Pennsylvania needs to do something about it.
And now with internet gambling, you don't even need to leave your bedroom, so I think the problem is going to get a lot worse in not just Pennsylvania, but New York State as well. Both of you guys fighting that fight. Micah, we'll stay with you on this one. This week, there was an effort put afoot in the state house to downsize the size of the state legislature. Won't happen for a while. Would take a lot of work to get it to happen. But do you think that the size of the General Assembly is too big, too expensive in Pennsylvania? It's one of the biggest and most expensive in the country.
I will say it is too expensive. Whether it's too big is a debatable question. James Madison wrote in one of the Federalist Papers that deciding the right size of state legislature is sort of a kind of anybody's guess. And having a lot of local representation in terms of a large number of legislators is a good thing. The challenge in Pennsylvania is there's so many perks and staffers and everything else that make it very expensive.
Yeah. Well, Jason, we survived that first week of the plastic bag ban. I am almost out of mine, and I'm missing them. Do you think nothing helps pick up after the dog better than a plastic bag, I do admit. But there's some real concern in the state that this could result in higher grocery costs, this plastic bag ban. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, I think it will. There's a number of things that are going on. You know, and political correctness seems to be ruling this issue right now. There is obviously the cost of the bags if you look to purchase the paper bags. But beyond that, I am noticing the slower lines. You know, I'm expected now to bag my groceries. Things that we used to take as customer service from these grocery stores are more and more being pushed down onto the customer. Mm-hmm. And so I see fewer people manning those lines, those types of things. And at some point, that cost does come back. So I'm just not a big fan of this ban we're looking at. And I'm hopeful at some point we can return to some sanity here and really look for things that, as Christians, we have a cultural mandate to care for the earth. Yeah. But it should be done under really a scientific approach and not a political correctness one.
All right. And that will have to be the last word this week, but get registered. New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom Legislative Day, fast approaching. Where can they do that, Jason?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
And lots going on in Pennsylvania as well. Where can they find you, Michael?
PAFamily.org.
Thank you, guys. They get it done each and every Friday during the Noon Report. You can catch Capital Connection on the radio and online, fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A disturbance arriving from the Midwest will kick up some snow and mixed rain as we head through the rest of the day into the night tonight, and travel could be impacted for some. But that system will pass, and high pressure will promise a bright, sunny weekend with a crisp start and a mild finish. Our forecast for this afternoon, cloudy with patches of snow and rain. Temperatures mainly in the 30s. Snow will pick up for many late today into early tonight, and anyone will be fair game for a coating to an inch. And a few inches could fall over the higher elevations of west central New York, the western central Finger Lakes, into the central Twin Tiers. Watch for some slippery spots this evening in particular. Later tonight, a few leftover flurries, low in the 20s. Tomorrow, early clouds, then sunshine in the 30s. Sunday, sunny, milder. The high then, mid-40s to the mid-50s.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams, have yourself a great weekend. Finally, this Friday, one of the most listened to voices you never knew has been silenced. Here's a reporter, Steve Kaffin.
Time to say so long to a familiar voice.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
That's Joyce Gordon. She was also seen in a lot of TV ads in the 1960s.
Frying right with highly unsaturated Crisco does give you digestible fried foods that don't taste greasy.
Gordon, who became known as the girl with the glasses and later a union leader, has died. She was 90 years old.
That's Steve Kaffin reporting, and that is the world we live in this Friday. As always, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend, won't you? I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.